Reading from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. In the Church Bibles, it's page 1135. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen.
So you'll begin to see a common theme here about creation and the redemption of creation and the fact that we are redeemed in Christ, but the whole of creation is waiting for us to demonstrate that we really are redeemed in Christ and to live and behave in the right way. We're going to have a look at creation. We're going to look at it through three words: catastrophe, complacency, and courage. Can you put up the... Great, thank you. And it'll operate now from here, will it? Good. Right, last week I was in Belfast, and while I was there, I visited the Titanic experience, and I learned about three ships involved in that tragic event in 1912, which was the largest loss of life in a sea disaster. Well, the first ship I looked at was the Titanic. It sank after hitting the iceberg, and that was a catastrophe. But then there was another ship. That was the SS Californian, which was nearby. It saw the icebergs. It saw the distress rockets. It didn't want to get involved, so it sailed in the opposite direction, thinking that there wasn't really much of a problem. Complacency. And the third ship was the Carpathia. The Carpathia received the distress call. It sailed full steam ahead at such a rate that it was in danger of its boilers exploding because it wanted to get there, and it rescued 706 passengers from the icy sea. 2,000 would have died if the Carpathia hadn't have got there and rescued some. Well, today we are facing a catastrophe. We have a climate emergency with more intense and more frequent storms, heat waves, hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons, melting ice sheets and ice caps, rising sea levels, drought and crop failure. Oh, it's not. All right. Well, in that case, let's freshen it up. We'll quickly recap. That's better. It is now. Okay, let's go back. Okay, so we were talking about catastrophe, the Titanic. We were talking about the complacency of the Californian, which sailed away. We were talking about the courage of the Carpathia, which sailed to rescue. And we said that today we are facing a climate emergency. We have a catastrophe, more frequent and more intense storms and heat waves. We have hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons. We have melting ice sheets and ice caps. We have rising sea levels. We have droughts and crop failure. Over 1 billion people lack food, or they lack clean water. Over 300 million are being forced to leave their homes because their land is uninhabitable. And it's the poorest people in this world who are suffering the most. They're the ones who are at greatest risk. And it's the lifestyle of the richer nations, people like us, that have caused and is causing this emergency. It is our consumption of fossil fuels for industry, power generation and travel. That's what's producing the greenhouse gases that are warming the planet. We're sailing full steam ahead into an iceberg. And a lot of people don't seem to care. For Christians, though, this has got to be a matter of justice. Some people suggest, ignoring the overwhelming scientific facts, that the climate's not changing and that human beings aren't responsible. Some Christians think that it doesn't really matter because God will give us a new world. So that's how God works, is it? We mess this one up and we say, sorry, and God says, it's okay, I'll give you another one to play with. Don't think it quite works like that, because what the Bible tells us is that God will renew his creation and renew our lives. Many people, although they recognize the changes that are coming in the climate, they don't think it matters because it's all happening in lands far away. So we can attempt to sail away. We can close our eyes to the climate emergency all around us, because many of us simply don't want to change our lifestyles. We don't want to change our lifestyles because it's going to affect us economically, or it's going to limit our pleasure. It'll take courage and it'll take sacrifice to act. The truth is that to address climate change, there will need to be mitigation. We'll have to do things to address it. There will have to be adaptation. We will have to change the way we live. And there will also be suffering. We can't avoid the suffering that climate change will bring. But what we can do is, if there is more mitigation and more adaptation, there'll be less suffering. Catastrophe, complacency, but also courage. Last August, a 16-year-old Swedish schoolgirl called Greta Thunberg sat on the steps of the Swedish Parliament on strike from school to draw attention to climate change. And she declared that she would strike every Friday until the Parliament and the world governments actually took action. And from her action, Strike for Climate movement has begun, which has seen millions of young people and children worldwide striking on at least one Friday every month. On Friday the 15th of March, over 1.5 million children and young people worldwide were on strike. As Christians, we recognize that God's creation is good. God loved it, God created it, God ordered it, God was pleased with it. God declared that it was very good. But sadly, if we're honest, we would rather be like Adam and Eve in the garden. We'd rather play God. We'd rather be in control. And because of our selfishness and our desire to be in control, we are seeing destruction to the environment around us. But our hope is in Christ. Our hope is not in human beings. Our hope is not in the science. The science just tells us that we've messed up. But our hope is in God, who promises to redeem creation. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to redeem the world through him. As we heard in our reading from Romans 8, creation is groaning. It's waiting for us to behave in a Christ-like way, to love God and to love our neighbors, to love God's good planet. It is our Christian responsibility in our use of the earth's resources, in our consumption of fossil fuels, in recycling and also in holding our politicians to account. We need to take courage and act. The fear is in my head. The hope is in my heart. There's a lovely verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God is not the author of fear. Fear paralyzes us. But God, through His Spirit, gives us love, gives us the power to get things done, and the wisdom and a sound mind to make the right decisions. Our call is to love the world and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And as a church, as Christians, as a church worldwide, we should be presenting a different way of living, an alternative way of living, which is based on our hope in God's purposes and in God's promises. We need to act now. Not by 2050, we need to act now. And if you want some suggestions for how to act, go on the website, go to one of these Christian organizations and find out how you and I can be involved in addressing the damage that we are doing to the planet, which God calls us to care for.